The Senate Education Committee is 8 a.m. We have with us Senators Dunleavy, President Senate Huggins, myself Stevens, Senator Stedman, and Senator Gardner. We're here for a discussion, beginning discussions this year on Senate Bill 80, the engineering buildings in both Anchorage and Fairbanks. See a lot of engineers in the building. If you'd all bring a brick with you, maybe we put this building back together over time, and we'd appreciate that. Let's go ahead and begin then with Senator Johnny Ellis. Thank you for being with us, Senator Ellis.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I have to compliment you on this exact perfect start time and full
committee.
Compliment of committee members. It's good to see you all this morning. And I'm joined, Mr. Chairman, by my staffer, Matt Moser, who's been doing a heck of a job on this project for several years now. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Johnny Ellis. I represent downtown and Mountain View in the Alaska State Senate, Senate District I. And I really appreciate you having this committee hearing this morning. I'm going to be relatively brief. There's some high-level and important people with us today and online who have some important things to say. I really appreciate the opportunity to put this material on the record. Oftentimes, you know, Mr. Chairman, that in the context of the capital budget discussion and all the projects that go into a capital budget in any given year, there's not always time to put all the important information on the record. And so that's why I introduced the bill, so that we could build support and have a full public record beyond what is possible just in the context of an individual project. As some of you may have heard me for several years now say, Alaska faces a severe shortage of engineers. In recent years, this problem has been compounded by the grain of our workforce. None of us are getting any younger, and engineers are just the same. We've heard from industry and the resource development industry, in particular, about the enormous expense and hassle of recruiting and retaining engineers from outside. Alaska industry prefers Alaskan engineers. Shouldn't be a big secret, shouldn't be a mystery. Over the years, the existing engineering facilities at UAF and UAA have become woefully inadequate. That's documented by everyone who's looked at it. They're cramped and out of date, and now lack the special purpose lab space required for modern engineering instruction. And I'm concerned that eventually we'll be facing a potential loss of accreditation if we don't address these challenges. As many of you know, during the 27th Alaska Legislature, we worked very hard across party lines and between the House and the Senate to secure significant but partial funding for the construction of these much-needed facilities at UAF and UAA. I took some heat from some people for being an Anchorage legislator advocating for facilities in Fairbanks. And maybe some of the Fairbanks legislators took some heat from parochial interests in the other direction. But it was the right thing to do, and we need to keep that good thing going. It's time to finish what we started. I think that some people have talked about finishing projects that are in the pipeline before we move on to expensive new projects, so this makes a lot of common sense. This effort to invest in Alaska-grown engineers enjoyed enthusiastic support from a broad coalition of Alaska's engineering professional organization and businesses, and they are preparing to contact all of you during this session to express their opinion. Industry advisory boards for both universities have urged the legislature to address growing enrollment and inadequate facilities, and it's the region's number one new construction priority for academic programs. These folks have convinced me that there's adequate demand by industry, by individuals to get their education at both campuses. It's not an either-or situation. I believe that we're not a year behind from only half funding the project last year, and these are significant expensive projects. I believe we're nearly a decade behind where we should be in this state to provide Alaska-trained engineers to Alaska resource industries. Some of these very folks from industry and industry advisory boards are here today, so I want to get to that quickly. I know that you'll hear from them about the vital work that we did last year. I appreciate your time and attention to this matter, and at this point, if there are questions, I'll do my best to answer them with myself and my staff, or we can get on to the academic folks and the private sector folks as well.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Question, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you for bringing this bill forward. I agree with you. I think it's very important. Several years ago, we used to hear a lot from university students and from the university that one of the impediments to graduating was sort of not being able to get the courses that students needed in a timely way to complete their course of studies. Do you have any data about engineering students not being able to graduate on time because they just can't get the classes, get into the classes they need?
Mr. Chairman, through the chair to Senator Gardner, and specifically answer that question. I don't have those statistics on the tip of my tongue. The biggest complaint we hear from students and from families, from parents, is the inadequate facilities. I mean, people have grabbed my arm as I've tried to tour these crowded facilities with former Senator Lauren Lehman and others. We've been through the facilities, and that's the biggest complaint about the lack of lab space and up-to-date facilities. I haven't heard from engineering students specifically about not being able to graduate on time. But that may be a concern because there's a squeeze on resources at both campuses academically. But there are folks here that can answer that specifically for you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Ellis. Just for our benefit, Senator, and maybe in a general way you can speak to this, what does an engineering student need more other than a drafting table? What are the needs? You're talking about special purpose lab space. What is that exactly?
Times have changed, Mr. Chairman. It's not the way it was when we were in school.
I know, and I got your comment about none of us getting any younger. I did write that one.
I apologize that I've insulted the committee, and we'll pay a price for that. But
any comments on the lab space? I mean, is it different for electrical engineers versus other engineers?
My understanding is that these are specialized facilities, and the folks that are in charge of installing those in the new facilities are available to discuss that
in
depth.
That. Any further questions, Senator Ellis? Thank you very much, Senator Ellis, for presenting this and for continuing to remind us how important
it is. I'll stick around. Thank you.
Thank you. We have Tom Case, Chancellor Tom Case. I believe he's online. Is that right? Chancellor Case, are you with us?
This is Tom Case. Am I on the line?
Yes, you are, Tom. Thank you so much for being here. This is the Education Committee. And Chancellor, pleased to have you with us. Any comments you would have on Senate Bill 40 having to do with the engineering buildings?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, I'm Tom Case, Chancellor at UAA. And Senator Ellis spoke very accurately in his comments just now. I would tell you that there's no higher priority aside from deferred maintenance in the Board of Regents budget than our engineering facilities. And that relates directly to Alaska state needs. The argument is pretty straightforward to make about how important the engineering field is to Alaska with all the projects going on and the other factors of demographics of the workforce. I would like to speak briefly to the course completion comment that was made earlier. One of the difficulties that we do have in scheduling courses in a sequence that allow course completion on time is related to facilities, because many of the required courses for the different tracks require certain specialized lab space, because so much has become electronic, computer-driven, and the technology of engineering has increased significantly since the time I went through. I still have my T-square and triangles and slide rule and keep those handy as reminders of just how far the technology has come. So that is an important part. But Chancellor Rogers and I have jointly advocated for 2 years now for the completion of these new engineering facilities, because between the two programs, which are slightly differentiated but do have some common elements as well, in order to graduate the number of new engineers for Alaska with a premium on Alaska-based engineers who already know the arty, is something we have to work together on. We got a good start, although a late start, with starting the not only the new engineering buildings, but the repurposing of some of the older engineering spaces as well. But it is an extremely high priority for us to continue these projects.
Well, thank you very much, Chancellor Case. Could you comment on the number of faculty and number of students that currently are involved in engineering in, at UAA?
We have come with the growth rate since 2007. We had 806. We had 1,137 in 2012, a 41% increase in enrollments.
Well, that's very impressive, Chancellor. And any comment on your faculty, number of faculty now that are assigned to this division?
We have 38 and a half full-time equivalent teaching and instruction-based research faculty at UAA. And our data sheet, which I hope you have access to, also shows UAF with 43.5 full-time equivalent faculty.
Thank you very much, Chancellor. Yes, Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and good morning, Mr. Chancellor. The 41% increase in enrollment over a five-year period, I think, is really dramatic. And as a state, we have tried, and many educators have tried, to get students more engaged in all of the STEM fields. Are we seeing the results of that, or is there something else going on that would account for this dramatic increase in engineering student numbers?
Well, I couldn't agree more about the need for expanding our STEM education efforts all the way from K-12 through through university. And that is an area of emphasis for the state. There are other activities going on in that area, and that is a key factor. I think that it is definitely related to our engineering need, but the need for additional engineers is also driven by just the state of affairs in Alaska and the need for engineering in the Arctic.
Thank you.
Thank you for the questions of Chancellor Case. Well, thank you, Chancellor. Glad to hear you still have your slide rule. You never know when everything may break down and you may need it.
Yes, sir.
Pleasure to have you with us. Thank you, sir. We'll move on then to Brian Rogers, the Chancellor, University of Alaska Fairbanks. Chancellor Rogers, are you with us?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Good morning.
I appreciate the opportunity to testify. For the record, Brian Rogers, Chancellor for the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and like my colleague from Anchorage, I'm testifying in support of this bill. And I think it's really a positive step to see the cooperative effort between University of Alaska Anchorage and University of Alaska Fairbanks. I know legislators in past years have said, get over your rivalry, leave it on the hockey rink, and work for students. Tom and I have worked really hard on this one to work together, and we appreciate the legislators from our regions working together to achieve common objectives. And we really appreciate the support last year that allowed us to begin moving forward on these two facilities. UAF, we put the money to work right away. We've awarded the phase one contract, began utilities relocation in October. We have groundbreaking scheduled for March 30th for the building for the phase one. Phase one will shell in the building, we should be finished January, February timeframe next year. We would, absent an appropriation this year, would have to stop work for a period of time. Appropriation this year would allow us to continue work, keeping on track. And there is a challenge of timing of the construction given its building's location in Fairbanks between Zuckering and Bunnell, a core campus area. So there is a significant construction impact if there's a delay. In the spirit of cooperation and following the state procurement code, we awarded to an Anchorage-based contractor to build the Fairbanks facility. They have made extensive use of Fairbanks subcontractors, so it is a cooperative effort all the way through. I want to add to something that Tom said, that while there are, he noted the 41% increase to 1,100 students between UAA and UAF in fall 2012. Those are ones who are formally enrolled in the undergraduate baccalaureate program. We actually have over 1,600 students registered in spring semester taking at least one engineering course at either the undergraduate or graduate level. We're on track to reach the goal we set in 2006 of doubling the number of engineering graduates, and it has been through conscious effort, recruitment, and consistent support from this legislature for the operating costs that it's taken to increase faculty at UAA and UAF, to unblock the course sequences so that students are able to graduate in a timely fashion, and we really appreciate that. And then finally, I would just say, in terms of the specialized spaces, when you're teaching programs like mining engineering, like petroleum engineering, electrical and computer engineering, each of those need specialized laboratories that are focused on the specific work, mechanical, each of them. And so we've tried to avoid unnecessary duplication between the two programs so that they are complementary. Again, with that, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to thank the committee and the Senate and House for their consistent support of the two programs.
Thank you, Chancellor Rogers. You've been the face of the university since I've been here in the legislature. You've filled every position, I believe, available in the university. How many years have you been with the university, Chancellor?
I enrolled as a student in 1970 as a transfer student.
Thank you. Good to hear that. Any questions of Chancellor Rogers? Senator Stedman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chancellor, you know, I don't think it's even debatable the need for the engineering buildings, particularly when the state looks forward and we have 100-plus years of hydrocarbons to access into the Arctic and the demand nationwide for engineers. We've had testimony here at the table of Boeing hiring the need for 6,000 engineers in 1 year and having trouble filling those. But the concern I have, or I guess the word of caution I have, and I know I've mentioned this to you before, even though it's not the preview of this committee, but this is an appropriation bill, as we move forward and we build out these types of facilities, the university being number three in position as far as the financial needs that are addressed in our operating budget with health and social sciences, or health and human services first, and education, both of those are extremely difficult to reduce. There's a lot of funding formulas embedded in them. And then the university being third, I would rank it as the number one budget reduction target of the three when push comes to shove. And budgets are going to get tight. So hopefully the university gives some serious thought on how they're going to manage the facilities going forward and rebuild the facilities that are going to be vacated, because it's more than just building these buildings on a holistic view. So the university isn't caught up short in 2 or 3 years, because it appears that our budget growth in the operation side of the state is going to precipitously slow down. And it might even go flat, or if we have budgetary problems, go negative, which would be a shock to a lot of people. But driving the state financially underwater blindly is not something that a lot of us are going to sit by and idly do. So it's more of a comment. It's more of a comment than a question, but I'd like you to address how, you know, in a long-term view, how you guys are going to integrate the facilities and move forward, of which I full-heartedly support finishing these buildings, so don't misinterpret what I'm saying.
Through the chair, in response, and I really respect the view and agree with the senator on the long-term challenge. One of the reasons we believe that this building in particular is important is we believe that additional engineering talent will be part of how we help fill the Trans-Alaska Pipeline. We know that the oil and gas industry hires many of our graduates. We hope we're doing work on methane hydrates and viscous oil, on what we can do to help ensure that there is continued production that helps on the revenue side in the state. We also believe that the university plays a role in developing a diversified economy that also addresses the revenue side of the picture. On the spending side, we've been working to reduce the energy footprint of our facilities, to cut those costs, to reduce the amount of off-campus leased space that we use, further reducing those costs. We're very cognizant and really see FY 14 and 15 as critical years. As we know, the state budget is not going to grow at all significantly. We see a federal decline, and we're working very hard to hold the line on tuition with the smallest increase in over a decade. So our three primary revenue sources essentially flat and on a real dollar basis declining. And so we're working hard to manage within those constraints and understand exactly what the senator is saying.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. For the question, yes, Senator Dunleavy.
Through the chair, I'm wondering if I could request some information from the universities. Would you be able to get numbers on freshmen that go into engineering in each of the campuses and what areas of focus they sign up for, and also the actual graduates? I'd be interested in that data. Thank you.
So, through the chair, we can both Tom and I can provide that information. Many students don't officially enter the engineering program until their second year. They'll be pre-engineering. We'll break that number out separately as to those, so you can see the pre-engineering, engineering, and how many are graduating in each of the programs. And we have years of historic data on both numbers of students in headcount, numbers of credit hours, the loads they're taking, and in their graduation.
I appreciate that. Thank you. And if you can go back as far as possible in terms of years, that would be great, too. Thank you.
Will do.
Thank you, Senator Dunleavy. And Chancellor Rogers and also Chancellor Casey, if you'd provide that to our staffer here, Tim, he'll make sure that it's distributed to all members of the committee. Thank you very much, Mr. Chancellor. For the questions, we'll move on then to Doug Goring, who's the dean of the UAF School of Engineering and Mines. Mr. Goring, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, hear you loud and clear. Please identify yourself for the record.
Yes, this is Doug Goring. I'm dean of the College of Engineering and Mines here at UAF, and I'm speaking to you from Fairbanks. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thanks for taking the time to hear me this morning, and I'd like to follow on a little bit from the previous questions and comments before I sort of launch into a little bit more of a general discussion. But the you know, similar to the situation at UAA, the engineering enrollments have accelerated quite a bit at UAF over the past roughly 7 years, from about 2005 roughly until now. Our enrollments here have approximately doubled, from on the order of 500 to the order of 1,000 engineering students. It depends on exactly how you count them. But the previous question regarding what areas students are going into, I can provide a little bit of data on that, although it's approximate. I don't have the exact numbers. But what we are seeing here on the Fairbanks campus is a lot of interest in a couple of fields which you might suspect. The fastest growing area is, in fact, in petroleum engineering. Our petroleum engineering enrollments have approximately tripled, almost quadrupled, since the early 2000s now. That used to be a program that had on the order of 30 undergraduate students in it, and we're now pushing 130. So we've seen tremendous growth there. And luckily, much of that we've been able to absorb with existing faculty, because we've gone from very lightly enrolled courses and laboratories to very heavily enrolled laboratories and courses. We've been able to accommodate a substantial amount of that growth without adding new faculty, although it's putting a lot of pressure on our current facilities and our current faculty. The second most attractive field to students seems to be mechanical engineering. I think that's a nationwide trend. And so our mechanical engineering program has roughly doubled to two to two and a half times larger than it was in the mid-2000s. And I would say that one that's sort of stayed flat is electrical and computer engineering. The civil engineering program has grown modestly. So those are kind of trends. They all sort of revolve around an approximate doubling since the middle 2000s. And I think someone had also asked a little bit about graduation rates. And again, these are numbers for UAF. I know that UAA has also seen tremendous growth in enrollments and graduation rates. I'm not, of course, as familiar with the numbs there, and perhaps Professor Smith, Dr. Smith can talk to those later if he's on the line. In Fairbanks, we are seeing the impact of those increased enrollments at the outlet door, if you will, at this point. And our graduation rate has really moved up substantially over the past few years. Last spring, we graduated roughly 90 undergraduate engineers from the program here. Five, 6 years ago, the number was more like 50 to 60. So we have seen nearly a doubling of the graduation rate of our BS level engineers. On top of that, we had another handful of computer scientists and a whole bunch of graduate degrees. So the total graduation from the College of Engineering and Mines here on the UAF campus last year was roughly 150 students. I'd also like to mention one thing that I don't think has been discussed here. The need for these facilities was vetted back in the 2010, early 11 timeframe with an educational consultant that UA Statewide engaged to look at, you know, our enrollment trends both at UAA and UAF and facilities needs. And that's really what sort of vetted the need for both of these building projects on the Fairbanks and the Anchorage campus. But I might point out that that analysis was based on enrollment data from the fall of 2010. So it's not as though, you know, we're sort of building large facilities for the future, hoping that the students will come. The vetting of the need for these facilities was really based on data, which is actually a little bit more than 2 years old at this point. So just something to keep in mind. And then I guess I'd like to finish just by saying that we've really been making great progress on the facilities planning on the UAF campus. The chancellor mentioned that we're moving forward and we're committing the money. We have a contractor on board. But I guess I'd like to just say a few words about our design team. It's just been a real joy to work with our design team and to work with elements of this building, which I think are really going to allow our students to accomplish things that they haven't dreamed of until now. We have a number of labs which are designed to be more accessible to students than the labs in the existing Duckring building. We also are strategically placing this building between Duckring Bunnell, which houses the existing School of Management programs and the engineering program. So this will provide a much better connection between business and engineering and allow the students to get together in a much more personal way. And we think that that's going to result in a lot of a neat interactions and projects jointly between the two academic units on this campus. And then finally, there was a question about the need sort of to follow on and make sure we have as complete a picture as we can in terms of needs for integrating these facilities into the campuses. At least on the UAF side, I can say that if we can get the rest of the funding for the project on the UAF campus, we will have funding. There is funding identified in the budget to essentially renovate the existing Duckring building. So that's been part of the planning process. Once we get through this, we will have not only a new engineering building, but also essentially the existing facilities will be renovated and brought up to current standards to best we can. So I think that that's all I wanted to say this morning, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if there are any.
Thank you, Dr. Gary. Do you follow up on your students to know what happens to them, where they go, where they work? And I guess a question beyond that might be, can you give us an idea of how many stay in Alaska, find jobs here, how many go elsewhere? Certainly more engineers are good for the country and good for the state, but can you comment on that issue?
Yeah, I don't have, you know, the follow-up that we do typically is related to our accreditation activities. Our accreditors require us to sort of keep in touch to the best we can with our graduates. And so I don't have firm numbers off the top of my head, and frankly, I can't say that we have exact numbers on where every one of our graduates has ended up over the past, you know, roughly 5 to 10 years. But certainly more than 50% of our graduates end up staying in Alaska, and I believe the number is around 3/4. We have very high placement rates. There are essentially almost no students that leave our programs that don't have some sort of an engagement in industry or that don't go on to graduate school either in Alaska or elsewhere. So there are a number of our students that take up higher degrees, study for higher degrees, and many of them do stay here on the Fairbanks campus. Recently, we've introduced some 5-year BS/MS programs which allow our students a sort of a leg up if they want to go on for their first level of graduate study and get a master's degree, very tightly integrated with their undergraduate program here. And that's really resulted in a lot more of our students staying around here after they get their BS degree to finish the master's program. And I would say one other thing. I've made this point in a couple of meetings that I've had recently. You know, our constituents include Alaskan students who want to do things that they may not be able to do in Alaska. And I'd like to to think of a number of our students that have gone on to work with NASA and other, you know, federal national organizations and done great things beyond Alaska. But those were Alaskan students as well. And so I think we have a duty to serve students and sometimes pat them on the back and wish them all the well and see that they are extremely successful in organizations and in locations that may not be in Alaska. And so there are a number of our students that go on to do things in the lower 48 and internationally.
Well, thank you, Dean Gehring. A very good point, and of course that's true. We want our students to be successful wherever they go. I appreciate the comments on possibly three-quarters stay in Alaska. I know if you talk to your alumni associate, they tell you exactly where every member, every graduate is
yeah.
for years and years to follow. Senator Gardner.
Thank you, and thank you for your testimony. I have a question that's sort of the flip side of Senator Stevens, and that is, are we drawing engineering students from outside the state to come up here to study here, and do you think that the new facilities might impact that?
That's a very interesting question, and I'll tell you one area where I believe that is occurring is in particular in petroleum engineering. And I do think the new facilities will impact that. And, you know, further, I think that's probably good for the state. I mean, with the oil and gas industry, obviously in Alaska, you know, we have a focus on petroleum engineering. And I believe what's happening is, you know, there's been a lot of growth and demand for petroleum engineers nationwide. And my impression is that many of the petroleum engineering programs around the country, and there's a limited number of them, are at capacity. And so we are, in fact, getting students to come here from all over the lower 48 and even a few internationally at the undergraduate level. You know, international students are common at the graduate student level. They're not so common at the undergraduate level. But our program has actually been attracting not only national interest but international interest. And I don't have firm numbers on this either, but a substantial portion, probably I would say maybe as many as a quarter of the students in our petroleum engineering program are from outside Alaska, and they're here because they want to study petroleum engineering, and we provide one of the relatively few open avenues for that course of study in the U.S. at this point.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Dean Gehring. Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Dean Gehring, Charlie Huggins here from Wasilla. My question has to do with, in your case, and you just cited petroleum engineers and the rising demand and appetite for students, in this case, to get a degree in petroleum engineering. You know, in the present climate, starting with the president of the United States, we have a major problem with unemployment. Just rose to 7.9%. But we further have a problem with a significant number of students that leave a campus from someplace, to include UAF and UAA, that are not employable based on the degree they have. And
right.
So my question for you is, you have a rising tide of demand. Do you have the conversation with your fellow deans of, I now need some of your space because I have a demand that is rising, and we need to recognize that, so let's do some adjustment internally with space, please.
Well, we've been able to do a little bit of that. We have an adjacent building that actually has been mentioned in the conversation here, the Bunnell building, and in fact, some of the science programs in that building are, in this case, moving to other places on campus. So we have been able to get temporary use of some of the space in one of the adjacent buildings. I guess the other related point to that is I think there has been a shift, and maybe the Chancellor could even speak to this, but I think there has been a shift in enrollments on the UAF campus that have, I think there's some evidence that some of the students in the sciences have come to engineering just because of the sort of the relative balance of enrollment numbers across our campus here, and I can't say whether that's happening on the UAA campus, but I think engineering has become more attractive in terms of the STEM fields. The real problem, though, I think, is that it's, you know, there. I think you're right. There are a lot of students that graduate from college, not just at UAF, but all over the country, that aren't, that may not be particularly employable. And, you know, certainly there are great employment opportunities in engineering. So why is this? And I think part of it is because certainly engineering is a difficult field of study. We try to do everything we can to get the students to be successful, but the fact of the matter is it's pretty challenging, and that challenge starts off with mathematics. And if you aren't at least reasonably good with mathematics by the time you graduate from high school, it's going to be very difficult to get an engineering degree. And we've been working at the high school levels to try to get students engaged and get them in that track. But I think that a lot of students end up taking other paths through college rather than engineering because of the challenge associated with the curriculum. And there's only so much we can do about that.
Yeah, thank you very much, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Further questions? Thank you very much, Dean Gehring. I appreciate your being with us. And we'll move on to the interim dean of the UA School of Engineering, Dr. Orson Smith. Dr. Smith, are you with us?
Yes, good morning, Mr. Chairman.
Good morning.
Members of the committee.
And just for the record, if you'd identify yourself.
Certainly. My name is Orson Smith. I'm actually a resident of Seward and the interim dean of the School of Engineering at UAA.
Thank you very much for being with us, Dr. Smith. Please go ahead with your testimony.
Yes, thank you. Personal background, I left the Corps of Engineers, a 20-year career as an engineer in that agency in 1998 to teach at UAA in the School of Engineering. Enrollment at the school in my time there has increased over 450% from less than 300 students to nearly 1,200 students last fall committed to an engineering education. In response to some earlier discussion, 90% of those people are Alaska residents, including returning veterans, Native Alaskans in the ANSEP program, and Anchorage School District graduates inspired by high school engineering academies. The facilities we have now at UAA are less than a third of the average specialized space other state universities provide for engineering education. We use what we have well. These facilities include rented space and a shopping mall and an old warehouse miles from campus. This is not at a national standard, but we use it, and we are looking forward, though, to having the new facilities, which will provide a richer and more specialized engineering education on a par with other states. We have in our school computer science and computer systems engineering that serve thousands of students with computer programming classes, and our that is our largest program. Our next largest is actually civil engineering because it has a more diverse set of undergraduate and graduate degrees, so that department is our next largest. In terms of employment, we have actually sometimes have to watch our students because they have so many opportunities in this city to get summer employment and part-time employment with the engineering industry that there's a tendency for them to postpone graduation for the interesting work they're doing as interns. And all of our students get jobs, and almost all of them stay here. I believe that it's more than 80% have jobs in the region, in the engineering industry. I'm glad to answer questions, but I'll end now by saying that an investment now in engineering education will benefit Alaska residents for many decades to come, and I hope that you'll support the continued funding of engineering buildings on both campuses. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. You mentioned the high school engineering academies. Could you just briefly comment on that? And I would think that'd be a perfect funneling of students into your program.
Yes, indeed. It's a very inspiring program that's really taking off. It's in Fairbanks as well. In the Anchorage School District, they have several schools now with engineering academies that follow a curriculum. It's a national curriculum known as Project Lead the Way. It involves robotics, computer programming, and exercises that give these young people insight into a career as an engineer. They come to us really pumped up, and it's a challenge to keep them so excited through the preparations in math, physics, and chemistry they have to get through before they're back to designing robots again. But we're working on that.
Thank you very much, Dr. Smith. Any further questions? Senator Gardner.
Thank you very much. I had a couple of quick ones. You said enrollment has increased 450%. That's over what kind of time period? And do you see the trajectory sort of continuing? Or do you think that that's sort of our capacity? And then the second question I have is, you said thousands of students are taking computer engineering. Are those students who are taking them with an engineering degree in mind, or are they taking them in order to complete requirements for other related degrees?
Well, the second question, yes, indeed, the computer science, computer programming faculty serve a lot of disciplines who will take a class in programming. Sciences, social sciences. So many of those are not engineering students. We have nearly 1,200 right now committed to degree programs that our school administers. And what was your other question, Senator?
Thank you. It's the period of time over which the enrollment has increased 450% and whether you see that trajectory is continuing into the future.
Right. In 2000, we had 293 students. The headcount in the fall. In the fall of 2012, we had 1,190. And this could be a time when it levels off. I certainly don't see it decreasing. I would say it should continue to increase at a less dramatic rate because, as we discussed, the inspiration in the secondary schools with programs like Project Lead the Way are turning more people towards engineering as an exciting and fulfilling career.
Thank you.
Thank you, Senator Gardner. Further questions? Thank you very much, Dr. Smith. Appreciate your being with us. We'll move on to Pete Stokes with the College of Engineering in Fairbanks. Mr. Stokes. We have a real live human being here. Thank you, Pete, for being with us. You can identify yourself for the record.
Chairman Stevens, President Huggins, and senators on the committee, thank you for allowing me to come and testify on behalf of SB 40 to complete the engineering facilities at UAF and UAA. My name's Pete Stokes. I'm a licensed petroleum engineer working as a commercial consultant and engineer for Petrotechnical Resources of Alaska, PRA, in Anchorage. I am sort of a data point, Mr. Chair, for graduates from UAF. I graduated back many moons ago, and have worked in oil and gas for 25 years for Unocal, both in Alaska, lower 48, overseas, and now I'm back consulting through PRA in Anchorage. We do a lot of work for new oil and gas entrants into the state, regional native corporations that have oil and gas interests. And we recently did some work on Cook Inlet gas supply issues for the utilities. I'm also the chair of the UAF, College of Engineering and Mines Advocacy and Development Council, and I'm speaking on their behalf today. The council provides the college sort of some guidance on strategic issues and what we would like to see coming out of the university as far as engineering graduates. I'm here today to thank you for recognizing the need to expand the facilities at both campuses. Last year, the legislature and the governor approved about half of what's required to complete to build these new facilities. The work needs to continue on, as was pointed out earlier. There would certainly be a cost increase if things were just sort of vacant and waiting for additional funding. These facilities are necessary to meet not only the demands of our current engineering needs in the state. Many of us are nearing the retirement age. I'm talking about myself here. But also to really be fulfilling the needs of our future growth projects in the state. I see a lot of projects that will be coming online in the next 10 to 20 years, whether it's the huge LNG export from the North Slope, whether it's the Wautauna-Susitna Dam, all of the OCS development offshore, and then additional development with our own resources in the state of Alaska and oil and gas. Certainly you're seeing a resurgence of activity in Cook Inlet through a lot of the efforts that you people down here have put into place, and we would see that as well on the North Slope. We're working toward that as well. You'll notice that my UAA counterpart on their engineering advisory board, Richard Reich, and I are testifying on behalf of completing facilities at both campuses. I feel very strongly that the university system needs to have complementary facilities at these campuses, and certainly, as has been alluded in previous testimony, those campuses ought to be competing in sports and not for educational programs. They should be one university system. I believe that the state funding to increase the capacity of these programs is a great investment in the future engineering in Alaska. As has been noted, Alaska industries and engineering firms would prefer to hire Alaska engineers because they're already trained and really understand the environment that we live in and design and operate in. There's a real learning curve to bring an engineer up from the lower 48 that really has not experienced the Arctic conditions. In closing, I'm here on behalf of my two grandsons who in 11 and 14 years will be choosing where they go to college, and if they choose engineering, I'd like to recommend either one of those campuses as being a world-class engineering school. So thanks again for allowing me to testify.
Well, thank you, Mr. Stokes. I had the opportunity yesterday meeting with folks from Red Dog, and they mentioned that their original contract 20 years ago was 100% employment by the local native corporation there. They haven't been able to make that for various reasons. I think they're up 55%. Do you see that as doable in the engineering field to have a program that reaches enough folks to go into engineering in that and other areas? Because I assume that that'd be a contractual agreement that we'll see more and more often made that attempt to hire local folks and not only that, but native corporation people. Is that something that we can actually achieve, you think?
Well, I think there are certainly a lot of initiatives that are helping toward that, whether it's the the ANSEP program or this this engineering academies programs. I believe even some of the new entrants, Great Bear, is promoting similar type engineering and geologic programs that have had very good traction down in Texas. But as has been pointed out, engineering is a difficult discipline to go into if you don't have the basic skills. When I went to school, we saw that there were a lot of freshman engineers that sort of got weeded out because of math and science skills that weren't there, and really you need to start to develop that in the junior high and high school levels in the state. So I think these programs that help do that and actually are graduating high school students that are prepared for academics and engineering really will go toward the goal of what you're describing.
Thank you, Mr. Stokes. Senator Stedman.
Well, Mr. Chairman, on a lighter note, I just want to get to your, I think the second to the last point you made, that there's some students that have problems possibly with Arctic conditions, you know, securing them here. But the title is so restrictive in this appropriation bill, we can't move them to the rainforest, so I don't have the ability to help you.
Always the rainforest.
I think what we want to do is take students that can certainly live and operate and design in the Arctic, and I'm sure they'll be smart enough to figure out how to do it in the tropics. I certainly went to engineering in Indonesia, and that was not a problem that I had there.
Mr. Chairman, there must be a miscommunication here. The tropic, it's not so much the tropics and rainforest as the one you're sitting in right now. I'm not advocating moving the appropriation out of state.
Thank you, Senator Stedman. Senator Dunleavy.
Just a brief question and statement, and this is directed not at yourself, but more along to the UA statewide folks that are here. A bit of sticker shock with some of the costs that we're looking at, and I'm going to ask for just a list of all of the projects, including capital, operating, whatever, that the University of Alaska system, including all the campuses, is asking for from the legislature this year. So all of a list of all of that, and just a word of caution that you might not get everything on that list. There's some big ticket items.
Thank you, Mr. Dunleavy. So you're saying you're asking for the University of Alaska, the statewide system, to give us a report on capital projects throughout the system.
Through the chair, I'm just merely asking for a list of all of their projects, capital and operating. That's all, and broken down by campus, statewide.
Okay, Tim, would you contact the university to make sure we have folks here, but probably be required from the president's office, but we'll try and get that information. Senator Stedman.
Mr. Chairman, it's probably in the red book or the green book or whatever color they have it this year. It should be readily available for us.
Yeah, good. We'll make sure we have that for you. Senator Huggins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you, sir, for being here with us today. I think you, at least for me, tell the human side of this. And how it affects Alaskans, and hopefully creates a greater demand on quality of education K through 12 as a feeder. One of the young men that worked for me in past years now is in the university system in the engineering program, and spent a couple of years in Iraq, was a Marine, good man, and that's the way good veterans kind of progress through the system. But equally important, one of the companies that often is demonized in the state as a producer, he's an intern for them. And he does that in the summertime, and I think it's fair to say that his expectation is that he will be hired by that firm when he's completed. That's kind of important, and that those same large organizations, we created a tax credit provision if they give to higher education, which is important to us in helping. And the other one, though, is it is hugely important, and this creates an opportunity for us to help ourselves because we have this thing called decline. And it doesn't matter whether it's in Cook Inlet, as you mentioned earlier, or whether it's on the North Slope, decline is a challenge for us. And in the case of Cook Inlet, we've thrown lots of money at it. We're buying rigs, and we're hoping people will be successful. and I'm cheering for them. On the North Slope, we're still working on that. But what I do know and what I appreciate that you're saying is you're giving your own testament of your experience as an engineer in the different industries you worked on, the geography of where you worked. You mentioned some international venues. It's important to recognize for those people that are concerned about Alaska Hire, which should be all of us, that we can help ourselves with these kind of programs because it is a discipline whereby we don't produce enough engineers to be able to satisfy the demand. So any other good ideas you have, I'd certainly like to talk to you offline if we don't have time here today. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator Huggins, and thank you very much, Mr. Stokes. Appreciate your time with us. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Stephen Miller. Mr. Miller, are you with us here or online? Stephen Miller?
Hi. Good morning. I'm Steve Miller, and I'm in the Wasilla Legislative Office.
And Steve. Identify yourself for the record, please.
Yeah, Steve Miller, and I'm here at the Wasilla Legislative Information Office, and I'm representing American Society of Civil Engineers, MATSU chapter.
Yes, thank you very much for being with us, Steve. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a civil engineer. I have a bachelor's and master's degrees in civil engineering, and I own my own business here in Wasilla, and I'm a part-time employee of BP. And I've worked here in Alaska since 1977, and I lived here since 1984. And I started working in the petroleum industry in 1989. And I've personally known many engineers and other technical people who flew into Alaska, flew up to the slope and worked, collected big paychecks, and then got back on a plane and left without spending any of that money in Alaska. And on the other hand, I have, working at BP, I'm thinking of a particular individual. He's a mechanical engineer for BP, and he's a very talented young man, grew up in Colorado. He came to Alaska to go to engineering school at UAA, and he's now living and working here in Alaska. And so I believe that a good engineering program attracts talent to Alaska. I think we all agree on that. And I just wanted to say that, you know, there are many necessary and critical projects that are just over the horizon, such as maintaining and increasing oil production in Alaska, designing and building a gas pipeline, Wautauna Hydroelectric Project, a bunch more. And we need engineers to complete those projects, and if those engineers are educated here in Alaska, they're more likely to stay here in Alaska and help build the economy. I share the concerns expressed about Alaska's economy and decline in oil production, and how are we going to manage our economic future in Alaska? That's definitely a major concern to me, but I also believe that engineers who are educated here in Alaska are more likely to stay here, and that a strong engineering program attracts people to Alaska, and I think we all understand that education strengthens our economy and we're making an investment here by investing in this engineering infrastructure. And that's all I had. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. I appreciate your going to the LIO there and for taking the time to testify. We appreciate your comments. If there are any questions, we'll move on. Yes, Senator Huggins.
Yeah, Mr. Miller, Steve, Charlie Huggins.
Hi, Charlie.
Yeah, hey, listen, I'm not pandering to you, but I just want to make a couple of comments to bolster your portfolio of expertise. Steve Miller, who is well known in the Wasilla area in Palmer because he's done work as a civil engineer in that area. He is very frank about, you know, the warts of organizations that are producers that he's worked for, but he's also complimentary in those areas that so deserve. And he has one of the world's smartest daughters that is off going to be contributing to us in the not-too-distant future. Is a very good runner. But, you know, equally important, I remember way back when we were doing a charter school, and Steve was community-minded enough that he designed some of the features that it took for the safety of that charter school, and I just like to publicly say thanks for Steve. He's a personal friend, but more important, he is an ambassador for our community and a contributor of his time and effort and that sometimes underappreciated. But Steve, thank you very much.
Thank you, Senator Huggins. Thank God for smart daughters, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all fortunate in that sense. Well, again, thank you very much, Mr. Miller. I appreciate you taking the time. Let's move to Dr. Grant Baker. Dr. Baker, are you with us? Right here in the room. Dr. Baker, pleased to have you here. And for the record, if you'd identify yourself.
Good morning. My name is Grant Baker. I was a university engineering professor for 24 years, six at UAF. And the last 18 at UAA. I retired last August, but I continued to work with the middle schools and the high schools with establishing engineering programs. About 10 years ago, we got the message loud and clear from industry that there was a shortage of engineers in Alaska, and companies told us that they had to go outside to hire the majority of their engineers. So we created new programs, and enrollments just took off. Starting about 4 years ago, Lathrop High School in Fairbanks and Diamond High School in Anchorage started engineering academies. And each of those programs have about 150 to 200 students now. Last year, or just last fall, Eagle River High School started an engineering program, and they have over 100 students. Mears Middle School started an engineering program called Gateway to Technology. They started that last fall. They had two courses. They got filled immediately with several more students wanting to get in. And so all of these engineering students that are in the middle and high schools, they didn't exist 4 years ago. And there's several other middle and high schools that are in the process of establishing these engineering programs to prepare students so that they can succeed either in the workplace or into an engineering program at the university. And so in a very short time, there's going to be hundreds of more engineering students knocking at the university's door needing more engineering equipment and labs. So we've come a long ways, but it's also time to finish what we started. I wore the button. And so please support Senate Bill 40 and fund the engineering buildings.
Thank you, Dr. Hargett. Now, do I understand, then you when you retired, you live here in Juneau now? Is that?
No, I live in Anchorage.
I
flew down.
I see, okay. So, and are you involved in that academy in Anchorage?
Yes, I'm Project Lead the Way is a national mall that was mentioned earlier that's being adopted by a lot of the schools because it has all the components that they like, including teacher training and good curriculum. And I'm the state leader for Alaska for Project Lead the Way.
Well, thank you. Thank you for post-retirement, still keeping involved.
I worked for Freener.
Yes, we appreciate it. Senator Gardner.
Thank you very much, and thank you for coming down and for your longtime advocacy. For engineering students and for STEM classes, too. You said that 4 years ago the Engineering Academy started at Lathrop and at Diamond, and while we understand that not all those hundreds of students are going to follow up and go into engineering, every bit helps, and for them, the likelihood certainly increases. Do we have any idea what percentage of students stay with it?
Because it's just started, we don't. But we do know that, I remember when they first started graduating about 2 years ago out of Diamond, we had an increase in the number of freshmen coming into the engineering programs at UAA. It just spiked. Mm-hmm. And so we knew that, we think that that was the effect of having an engineering academy, just at one of the high schools.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Baker. The last of our invited speakers is Dale Nelson, who we're all familiar with. We, in addition, have several who have signed up to speak as well, and we'll attempt to get to them. But Mr. Nelson, a person we all recognize who's been in these halls often, pleased to have you with us again.
Thank you for the invite. For the record, my name is Dale Nelson. I'm a registered professional civil engineer. I live in Anchorage and have been practicing for over 45 years in that profession. And I'm also down here with the as chair of the Legislative Liaison Committee, which is the Alaska Professional Design Council. And we've got a lot of folks back here that are down here, Grant down here, and so we're down here to speak to all of you, and I think John Walsh has set up appointments for us. Okay, moving off of that. APDC has been following this program for a long time, and I would like to take a moment here to thank Senator Ellis and his staff for all that he's done for us in the engineering profession, you know, getting this out there, because you heard the testimony of many people that that are here. They usually stay here, and that's what we see, you know, if hiring of young folks, and we've got two students here behind us that's going to the University of Alaska that could like to step forward. Anyway, back to the point is that APDC has got 9 society members. That's like the American Society of Civil Engineering, the surveyors, the professional engineers, and support it. We have some 5,000 members as you break that down further. The thing is that these buildings at the University of Alaska, Fairbanks and Anchorage, is that this is a great opportunity, one, to finish something that has started. Two, it is an opportunity, as some of the questions that have been asked here, as to growing programs, you know, growing the master's program, the PhD programs, but also to grow and get involved in research is out there. You know, it's not that it's not going now, but to grow it and develop it. Like the American Society of Civil Engineers has a conference in Anchorage this June. It's called Cold Regions, and these are people from all over the world. University of Alaska's got a lot of folks that are involved, very involved in this. But it is, we live here. Let's get involved with that and take that to the rest of the world and be a leadership. So just to, you know, there's others, and to get opportunity for others to testify is that please support the final phase of funding, and if there's things that we can do, please let us know. And if I could just take one moment,
please,
speak to Senator. Senator Belts, it's always been a great pleasure to be here, and his widow just passed away, and she lives 2 doors. And it's always it's always been a good pleasure to go see her and say, he's out here. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Nelson. We're pleased that this room is named after Senator Belts, and his family was here when we dedicated this room to him, and it was a wonderful experience for the entire legislature to be involved in that. And
great family.
Thank you for your continued involvement. 45 years, that's remarkable. It seems like when engineers, even when they retire, they still stay involved.
They don't like that.
Never fully retire.
Right.
Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Questions. We'll now move on to the next phase of several people who have asked to speak, and it looks like I think I'm going to have to impose the 2-minute rule if you can bear with me on that. So we have at this point Kit Duke, Robert Baldwin, Bob Pulaski, Bruce Davidson, Sean Florio, Pete Stokes, Tom Gill, and Virginia Geschel, I believe. So we will move through those and ask you to speak for only 2 minutes, if you will. Let's begin with Kit Duke. Kit Duke, are you with us?
I am on the telephone, and I really do not need to speak. I'm just calling in to be available to answer questions, so I will defer to the next person.
Oh, thank you, Kit. And would you identify your position and who you represent and what you do?
Yes. I'm Kit Duke. I'm the Associate Vice President for Facilities and Land Management. I work for the University of Alaska System Office, and I have been involved with putting together the information that's come to you all for these 2 engineering projects.
Thank you very much, Kit. I appreciate your being with us. If any questions come up, we will address them to you. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Let's move on to Robert Baldwin, is also, I think, believe, online from Anchorage. Mr. Baldwin, are you with us?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members. Bob Baldwin. I'm managing principal of Alaska Science and Technology, an Anchorage consulting firm, active since 1980. And additionally, I represent Alaska's 400 members of the Institute of Electrical and Electronics Engineers. I'm a physical scientist and electrical engineer, and have been a resident since 1955. I'm present to reinforce my letter to Senator Ellis, which provides very strong support for Senate Bill 40. Ballooning engineering enrollments have created a space crisis at UAA and UAF. I am keenly aware of this as a longtime advisor. We all know who are involved that high enrollment demand is best met locally. We universally believe that this will continue to increase due to, especially due to the new emphasis on engineering academies previously mentioned. Direct access is very important for new students considering an engineering education. Lack of adequate space for classrooms and laboratories robs that opportunity and eventually threatens accreditation or capped enrollments. Many of our brightest students in this circumstance will be forced to leave Alaska to obtain engineering educations. We know many of them will not return. We can't afford to ship our top students outside Alaska to benefit other states. That is a direct economic loss that handicaps our future. A stable engineering workforce composed of resident Alaskans rather than rotating transients has economic benefits across Alaska.
Thank you, Mr. Baldwin. I apologize for interrupting, but if you'd sum up, we are nearly out of time here.
Okay. We thank Senator Ellis for having the vision to sponsor Senate Bill 40. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bob. I appreciate your comments. We will move on then to Bob Pulaski. We all know Bob. He was here in the legislature the last few years working with Senator Meyer. Captain Bob, are you with us?
Yes, Mr. Chair. Captain Bob Pulaski, a member, and can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you clearly. Please continue.
Yes, I'm Captain Bob Pulaski, a member of the UAF College of Engineering and Mines Advisory Development Council, an adjunct professor in UAA School of Engineering, an alumni of UAA's Graduate Engineering and Business Programs. Today I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'd like to give testimony in support of SB 40 and provide a specific and personal example of how the engineering programs are key in growing Alaska businesses. In the late 90s, federal government increased contracting of hydrographic surveying to address our survey backlog, improve navigation, increase tools. To prepare Alaska in meeting this opportunity and recognizing we had the largest survey backlog, as well as major coastal engineering challenges with the thawing of the Arctic, John Oswald, Tom Newman, Dr. Orson Smith and myself teamed together to create a course in hydrographic survey. Interestingly, we created that course because our congressional delegation asked us point blank, if we privatize it, will Alaskans do it? We put together the course and a program. Dr. Orson Smith championed a graduate certificate in coastal engineering where hydrographic survey was required and has provided engineers for both coastal development and coastal protection. Tom Newman continued to develop and now leads TerraSon, the polar-based international technology firm, conducting the contract work from the graduates in our class. John Oswald grew JOA surveys into a recognized leader in tidal analysis and modeling, of which is the graduates from our class now own the company as associates. And for me, the course has continued to grow from an original 6 students to over 20 the last time I taught. I share this example because, well, it's a specialized area. The team
Thank you, Mr. Pawlowski. I'm sorry to interrupt, but if you'd sum up, please.
Yes, I sure will. Very simply, it's a small example of how we've grown the business in Alaska. We're now sending our talent both nationally and internationally as well, addressing Alaska. And SB 40 will continue to give us the opportunity.
Thank you, Mr. Pawlowski. Good to hear from you again. Move on to Bruce Davidson, also in Anchorage, I believe. Mr. Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members. My name is Bruce Davidson. I'm from Anchorage. I was a long-time civil engineer in Alaska before I moved on to my second career, which is practicing law, and I'm currently a lawyer here in Anchorage. I spent many hours in the early 70s sitting in the Duckering Building, so I'm very familiar with its shortcomings back then, and we do need the new facilities. Alaska is a paradise for engineers. The problem is not keeping engineers in Alaska. The problem is getting them here. And what better way to get them here than to get them as students? But we do...
A little shorter than I expected, Mr. Davidson, but can you hear us at all here?
Are you able to hear me?
Yes, we hear you now. Please.
Yes,
continue.
All right. Well, let me just conclude. I know you've got some time constraints there. Engineering curricula are heavily dependent upon the facilities. The labs and the workstations for the undergraduates are essential to the environment that should lead on to a strong graduate program and the research facilities needed for that, which, of course, results in a rich educational environment that will lead to inventions and patents and intellectual innovation. If we can get the engineers here as students, they will stay. The University of Alaska has always had the potential and still has the potential and could and should become the premier university in the Northern Hemisphere for Arctic and subarctic engineering. And Senate Bill 40 will be a very significant, important step in reaching that ultimate goal. Thank you for your time, ladies and gentlemen. That concludes my comments.
Thank you very much, Mr. Davidson. I appreciate your being with us. Sean Florio, I believe, also in Anchorage. Sean Florio. Oh, I'm sorry. There you are. Thank you for being with us, Sean.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Sean Florio. I live in Anchorage, work in Anchorage. I'm a civil engineer, work for a large firm there. I'm a vice president with HDR Engineering, and I'm here with APDC with Dale and that group for the next couple of days. I had some longer comments, but I'll give you the executive summary of what I was going to say and submit my comments in writing. The firm I work for has about 130 employees. Last year, we could have employed 160 to finish our work. We have 8,000 people in the company, so we work share, and we were able to get that work done by sharing with Lower 48, who's been light in the last couple of years. But that's work that's going outside of Alaska, and we'd rather do it here. We prefer to hire Alaskan engineers. I just lost two engineers in the last 3 months moving back to Lower 48. They come up here for a few years, and often they don't stay for various reasons. Family often, they move back to Lower 48. That's a big cost to our business, and makes it difficult to keep things moving on projects like Susitna-Wautana, Point Thompson, the Northern Rail Extension Bridge that we're working on now, the Port McKenzie rail extension. Those sorts of projects are projects we're working on that we don't have the people to conduct that work. And so I'll submit my comments in more detail, but I think that suffices to provide the point.
Thank you very much, Mr. Florio. And if you make sure that Tim gets those, we'll distribute those to the committee. Thank you, sir. Moving on to Brian Clements, I believe, is in the room. Brian, if you'd come forward, please. if you'd identify yourself for the record, sir.
Good morning, Brian Clemens. I am a electrical engineer by education, registered Alaska professional engineer. Also, because of my interest in this, I was recently appointed to the board of College of Engineering and Mining Advisory and Development Council. Also, a representative of the Alliance, a consortium of contractors and service providers for oil and gas industry and other resource developers. And I am hold a director position at CH2M Hill, the sixth largest employer in the state of Alaska. And also, we employ a number of engineers. And I can testify that it is very difficult to get the engineers that we need to do all the work that's before us. I'd like to also say that you know, second to only the faculty and staff facilities, and I'd like to stress the state-of-the-art facilities, is very important in attracting engineers to Alaska. On a personal note, I could remember back when I was selecting my school, and I went around and I visited a number of different universities, and I chose the university based on it having up-to-date state-of-the-art facilities. There at CH2M Hill, I can also testify that those students that graduate from facilities here in the state of Alaska seem to tend to stay in Alaska. We have a lot of transient folks that come in and out, and as projects come and go, a number of those we have to go outside of Alaska, and we like to get all of our resources from Alaska. So I am speaking in support of SB 80. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Clemens. I appreciate your comments. Tom Gill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Tom Gill, and I'm a senior civil engineering student at UAA. So I appreciate the opportunity to present in front of you today. My comments, I'm of course in support of this bill. I can attest to the fact that the School of Engineering at UAA has outgrown the space, the current space, and we certainly do need to modernize labs. I guess I'd like to attempt to talk about things that perhaps are somewhat difficult to quantify. I can appreciate Senator Dunleavy's comments about this sticker shock related to the cost of the new engineering buildings, but I firmly believe this is truly an investment in the future, and agree wholeheartedly with the testament that has occurred so far. Dr. Grant's comments about the spike in enrollment after the academies came about, I think, is encouraging, but I'm concerned that if we don't have modern facilities and increased square footage, a world-class engineering school both here in Anchorage and in Fairbanks, that a lot of those high school students will choose to go elsewhere. And then, of course, like everyone has mentioned, the chances of them coming back if they choose to go to an engineering school in the lower 48 is reduced, of course, when they see opportunities down there. So I'd like to see that the top students in these academies, the local high schools, choose to stay or choose UAA or UAF, and I think that a new facility would certainly help in that regard. I think that I can agree that I totally agree that the need to produce homegrown engineers is real, and I'll just end with my comments about how a new facility not only attracts new more quality students, but also retains the quality professors and strengthens the student community overall.
Thank you, Mr. Gill. Sorry to stop you, but if you have any additional information you could have provided the committee, please give it to Tim, and we'll make sure everyone gets it.
Thank you, sir.
Virginia
Groeschel.
Would you say that again?
Groeschel.
Thank you. Well, thank you, Virginia, for being with us.
Thank you very much. My name is Virginia Groeschel. I'm here to support SB 40. I'll make this very succinct. I have 2 minutes. So I am a 2006 graduate of UAA in the School of Engineering program. I am currently working as an engineer in training for Dahl HKM in their aviation design group. I am also the section president for American Society of Civil Engineers in the state. We have 838 members. One of the questions that was asked was how many people stay after they graduate UAA? From the alumni relations group, I was asked to speak at the open house. There is over 60% stay in Anchorage, just in Anchorage alone. So that gives you some perspective. As a student, I do remember having trouble even finding a computer in the computer lab. Just last week, I went to meet with the student chapter of ASCE and found that the computer lab that was in a room is now in where I remember the lounge. And I asked one of my colleagues who just got hired with us as a 2012 grad at UAA, I asked Jake, I said, Jake, why is the computer lab outside in the lounge? And he said, because that's where they put it. They made the computer lab a classroom. So that kind of gives you a bit of a perspective. I'm just a face in the crowd, but growing up in Alaska, in Kodiak from an island and going to a big city like Anchorage, it's a huge kind of culture shift, but it's what a lot of the students coming from the other villages, they experience that. So to have a class university to be able to take that education and make your opportunities, I love being an engineer here in Alaska. I love living in Alaska. So to be able to look at my own child and say, man, what an opportunity he's going to have in 20 years if we can continue forward with all of this expansion and the development of the university, I feel like it's my responsibility to give that opportunity, not just make it, you know, pave the way, but give them better opportunities than what I had. I think it's kind of, I feel like that's my responsibility as well as our community, and that's why we're here today. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Groeschel. Perfect timing, and always good to hear from an engineer from Kodiak. Thank you. And lastly, I believe, we have Frank, and I'm going to ask you to tell me your last name, Frank.
Rast.
Rast, R-A-S-T. Please come forward. Your writing is not as bad as mine, so I always appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for allowing me to testify. I'll be very brief. I'm the AGC liaison for the American Council of Engineering Companies, Alaska member organization, and the chief civil engineer for R&M Consults in Anchorage. I can attest that 9 of my last 10 entry-level hires have been UAA or UAF graduates. They do an excellent job of preparing students for the job market, but the demand has exceeded supply for entry-level engineers. There's a lot of people, engineers getting my age, getting close to retire. And I think with the turnover, people retiring, and the job growth, there's a shortage of entry-level engineers right now in the state. I can attest that we've had very poor success in recruiting engineers from Lower 48. They basically, as previously testimony, they come up for a couple of years, and their wife says, I'm going back to family. Are you coming with me? So it's very expensive to recruit from Lower 48. It takes us probably 2 years to train an engineer for the local conditions. And we invest all that money in the training, and then they're gone. People that go to school here tend to stay here because their family is here. They've lived here. They enjoy Alaska. And I think the other part is these new facilities are going to have world-class research capability that's going to attract private investment, and I don't think that can be understated. That there's companies that'll invest in students and grad students for research if you have the facilities, and I think by leveraging public dollars, you can leverage private dollars and attract investment. I think that's what infrastructure is all about. So thank you again for allowing me to testify.
Thank you very much, Mr. Rast. Appreciate that. And a question from Senator Gardner.
Quick question. Have you ever hired a female engineer from out of state whose husband wanted to stay?
Well, you know, let me think. We do have, we actually, my last two entry-level hires were females. And at one time in the 90s, our civil staff was actually 25% females. And I can attest, when I went to school 30 years ago, I had a class of 110 at the University of Wisconsin. And I think we had two females. And now I think it's more like 20-25% females. And actually, I did have an engineer whose wife came up to work for Cornerstone Construction, and they're from South Dakota School of Mines. And we hired him, excellent engineer. He left, and they went to Wyoming and then overseas, and actually now he's coming back because they decided they actually do like Alaska after being all these places. So in a sense, a woman engineer did bring us an engineer, but it wasn't actually the woman engineer. thank you for the question.
Thank you, Mr. Rest. Thank you, Senator. I appreciate your comments.
Thank you, sir.
We will, of course, hold this for further consideration, but my intention is to move it as soon as the committee is comfortable with doing so. So we will be dealing with it very soon. Appreciate everyone's comments. And with that, we are adjourned at 9:29.